Hi, I'm Jessica Magooch, and I hate sales. No, I really hate sales. I never wanted to get into sales. I was somehow coerced into it. But I promised myself that if I was going to sell, I was not going to be one of those icky, sleazy, annoying salespeople. So I learned everything I possibly could about selling, applied it in the market to learn what worked and what didn't, and you know what I learned? None of it matters. You see, sales is so much more than learning closing techniques and consultative sales questions, overcoming objections, giving amazing presentations and storytelling and negotiating. Sales is about truly understanding who you are, understanding human behavior, sales psychology, and emotional intelligence. And when I combined all of those things, I was able to achieve massive sales success. Then I created a system so that I can train other salespeople to have the same results. Then I learned how to train trainers and sales managers until eventually I built a team for a startup from zero to over $40 million a year in annual recurring revenue, all using this exact system. It all starts with debunking some myths about what sales is and isn't and why people really buy. This lesson in sales psychology is the foundation to all of my sales training programs. It is the 13 lies they told you about sales. Lie number one, sales and marketing are the same thing. I want to start by clearly defining the difference between sales and marketing because a lot of companies consider them the same thing and expect their salespeople to do both sales and marketing at the same time. But when I was able to clearly define the difference, it made a huge difference in understanding the sales psychology in each of these phases. I define marketing as generating interest within the customer. It's establishing a need, sometimes where they didn't even know there was a need, and piquing their interest to seek a solution, preferably with you. Sales, however, picks up where marketing leaves off and converts prospects from curious to paying client. The reason why this is so important is because attempting to start the sales process or closing before the marketing phase is complete is what makes salespeople seem pushy and manipulative. It happens all the time. People start closing a customer who's not even interested or doesn't even have a problem or cares to solve a problem that they have. In other words, they have not been given permission to sell. Marketing is highly focused on the emotion of the problem, and sales is highly focused on the emotion of the solution, which are usually opposites. Understanding whether your customer is in the marketing phase or the sales phase is crucial. From my experience, the most successful sales teams are supported by amazing marketing and sales development teams who supply qualified leads so that the salespeople can start selling right away. But that's not the reality for everyone. So whether you have a marketing team behind you or not, the same is true. Knowing when you're marketing and when you're selling is crucial. There's something I call smarketing. It's the salesperson's role in marketing or smart marketing. And the more you can learn how to master both of these skills, the more successful you'll be and the more in control of your sales you'll be. Lie number two, sales is manipulating customers into buying. All right, well, there is a difference between amateur salespeople and professional salespeople, and this is it. Amateurs see sales as a job and are in sales primarily to make money. They learn sales and sales techniques so they can manipulate customers into buying, even when it might not be the best option for them. That's not you though, right? So professionals take great pride in the career of sales, and their main intention for being in sales is to help people. For this reason, they're very careful about what companies and products they represent. They know that if they help enough people, they'll get what they want as well and achieve a real long-lasting financial success. Like any professional, they consider learning sales an ongoing process and something they can always improve. They master the skill of selling in order to help people make a decision because products never sell themselves. Lie number three, products sell themselves. There is a universal law of nature that explains exactly why products do not sell themselves. Newton explained to us in the law of motion that an object at rest will stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. The same is true for people. People do not want to change. I will say it again. People do not want to change. And by the way, whether you're selling direct to consumer or B2B, it's always people making the decisions and people who have to change. So no matter how great a product or how great the price or even how big the need, there's always the reality that people are afraid to make the wrong decision and do not want to take action. This is especially true in big purchases, but I've even been known to second guess myself at the dollar store on whether or not I need another pair of cheap sunglasses. This is where sales and marketing come in. The average person is not aware of how powerful marketing is when they buy products and services, but the reality is that many people and a lot of money go into creating a brand around all the things we buy every day. And in professional selling, it's the salesperson that really has to be the influence, an outside force to help a person make a decision and not be afraid to take action when the solution fits their needs. How exactly you move that person from rest to action, I'll share in a bit. Line number four, sales can't be taught. It's you either have it or you don't. I would argue that very few of us are born natural musicians, yet all of us, at least in the United States, learned how to play the recorder at some point in fourth grade, right? And we did it with some decent ability. So the notion that you can't teach salespeople like any other skill or craft is highly limiting to your company. Where I think this myth comes is from the challenge sales trainers and sales managers find themselves in when they experience success in sales. Then they're promoted to a training role, but haven't been given the skills to train salespeople, and they're not having much success doing so. It's baffling why you can't just give all the right words and techniques and process to someone to use, the same presentations and materials and the support and everything else they need, and they still won't have the same success. But learning how to train salespeople is very different skill from learning how to sell to customers. And it's often not provided by companies when people are promoted to management. So the trainer must learn how to analyze his or her own success in a way that can be taught and replicated in others. But just like learning the recorder, sales is a skill that when broken down and learned methodically and understanding, it has much more to do with just techniques and words, but also has to do with the salesperson's mentality, intention, and work ethic, all of which can be taught. I've done it many times over and over, usually with people who have not had any sales experience whatsoever. Lie number five, you have to be an extrovert to be good at sales. So I'm sure you've heard that listening is an important skill to develop in sales, right? You know who are naturally great listeners? Introverts. You do not have to particularly be outgoing in sales. In fact, extroverts often have to be reminded by their loving trainers to let the customers do most of the talking. The gift of gab is a blessing and a curse, but don't believe the hype. There is no one type that is good at sales. There are all kinds of customers out there, so we need all kinds of salespeople. If your sales team starts looking homogenous, you're limiting your reach with potential customers. Whether you're an introvert or extrovert, athlete, teacher, nurse, or lawyer, the skill of sales can be taught, including the skill of building relationships with complete strangers, also known as your future clients. Lie number six, in order to sell, you have to sell your soul. People think that in order to sell something, they have to somehow compromise their core values. That, for instance, you'll have to learn how to lie, cheat, or steal in order to be successful. That could not be further from the truth. As we know from experience, people who do lie, cheat, or steal to get to the top either never get there or find only short-term success. You can get rich quick by being unscrupulous, but to experience true, long-lasting success, The only way to the top is through integrity and a genuine intention to help people. Line number 7, people buy because the salesperson demonstrated value. At first glance, you might be wondering why this is a myth. Here's where I reveal why people really buy. People do not buy because you have a great product at a great price and they have a need and see the value. Even with all these boxes checked off, people still won't buy. So why do they really buy? People make decisions first emotionally and then back them up with logic. I will repeat that because it's crucial. People make decisions first emotionally and back them up with logic. And recently, this was scientifically proven through the study of emotional intelligence. But professional salespeople have known it all along. Information literally passes through the emotional center of your brain before it hits the area of logic and reasoning. So even the most analytical person cannot avoid how their primal brain works. Whether they know it or not, and most are not aware, emotions are always involved in making decisions. If it doesn't feel good, they won't buy, even if it makes logical sense. Remember how I explained earlier that salespeople are the outside force for moving someone from rest to taking action? The way they do that is by mastering emotional intelligence so they know what the customer needs to feel in order to move forward and how to transfer that emotion to them. Even with all of the best intentions of helping people, they will not take action unless they feel a certain way. Primarily, they have to feel good about you, because if they don't trust you, there's no reason to believe anything you say in your presentation, and some people who are trustworthy may be unknowingly sharing signals that make the customer distrust them. With this in regard, the buyer only has one question. Why are you here? Are you here to help me or to make a sale? If you answer it correctly, you win. The second emotion they must experience is what it will feel like when they've solved their problem. This can be accomplished through storytelling, the salesperson's nature, and experiencing the product themselves. Think test drive. Yes, you must also address the logical and reasoning part of the customer, but most salespeople are already very good at that and spend a lot of time focusing on it when overall it matters the least. As Maya Angelou said, people may not remember exactly what you did or what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And if you want to test whether or not this is true, call your customer 3 days after you did your demonstration and ask them any question you want. They'll likely not know the answer, even if they bought. So the question you need to answer is, what does my customer need to feel in order to buy? And how can I be a representative to transfer that emotion? In this way, you can see why it is the biggest mistake for a life insurance person to emphasize the fear of dying without insurance over the serenity of having their family's future secured, or the luxury car salesperson ignoring a customer who walks in the door instead of treating them like the successful, powerful people they are or want to be perceived as. I've trained on this a lot, and there's always one person who insists they do not use emotion in a particular purchase, such as a car. They weighed out every feature and price and benefit, and they were not swayed whatsoever by the brand or how they wanted to be perceived. But even making the most logical, reasonable choice is an emotion. The customer in this case wants to feel responsible, in control, reasonable, practical, eco-conscious, even the color, humble even. Even the color of the car says so much about your personality. The reality is we are all buyers who make emotional buying decisions every day. The more you can be aware of this in your everyday purchases, the better you'll be at making sales to other buyers. Lie number 8, sales is about creating a need and filling it. As I stated before, creating a need is the job of marketing. Sales' job is to fill the need. By the time you actually speak to a person about sales, whether they walk in your lot, send you an email, or give you a call, they already have a problem and they're looking to you for an answer. On some level, they are already sold. They will buy from someone. The question is, will it be from you? Now that you know people make decisions first emotionally and back them up with logic, you can see why we would be approaching the sale dangerously if we focused on the emotion of the problem. You don't need to take any time telling them about the problem they know they have. Imagine going to a doctor because you're afraid of a mole you have might be cancerous. The doctor proceeds to tell you all the terrible statistics about skin cancer and scolds you for being in the sun. You'd much rather him say, don't worry, we'll take care of that for you. Let us worry about it. That's the doctor you tell your friends about. They both may be great at what they do, but one understands the emotional aspect of your relationship and the other doesn't. You won't go back to the first doctor because you don't want to feel scared. You want to be put at ease. Get it? Good, because understanding this concept will change everything for you. Lie number 9. Sales is about asking really good questions to uncover needs. Look, customers are smart. They've done their research. If you have a strong relationship, there is really only one question you need to ask. How can I help you? And then shut up and listen to the answer. Most of the answers you need to know to qualify the customer will be answered by them themselves if you listen carefully. The customer will tell you exactly what they want to buy. Then your job is to sell them what they want to buy. Yes, it is that simple. Lie number 10, closing is difficult. Closing. Closing the sale is something that happens from the first moment you open the relationship. It's an entire process, not one question at the end of a presentation or demonstration. A professional sales person closes naturally with an assumed close because it's agreed to from the beginning that a decision will be made either way. We do not have to wait until the end of the sales process to find out if the customer can afford the product, if they're ready to buy, who else they're considering, if it fits their needs, or if the decision makers are there. In many cases, because the foundation is so strong and we've pre-closed the customer, they will end up selling themselves. We have sold them exactly what they want to buy and made them feel exactly how they need to feel in order to take action. And so they do. Lie number 11, referrals are not a reliable source of prospects. I believe that the traditional sales funnel is broken because it ends at closing the sale. The myth is only true if you don't have a proven process that helps referrals continually flow to you and include it in your sales process. Referrals are earned because you helped a customer solve their problem better than anyone else and because they know your relationship is much more important than you making a commission or a sale. Referrals are the reward for doing everything else right in the process, and it is the acid test of the sale. Did the customer buy because of you or in spite of you? If they bought because of you, they will be happy to refer their friends and colleagues to you. If they bought in spite of you, they will buy the product, but they will not want anyone to meet you. So Dale Carnegie did a study that showed that 91% of customers surveyed said that they would be willing to give referrals, but only 14% of salespeople asked for them. And you've probably heard that people are 10 times more likely to talk about a bad experience than a good one, right? So you can see how I'm building a case for asking for referrals as part of the sales process, planting the seeds all the way in the beginning of the relationship. You're much more likely to get referrals if you ask for them. From a business perspective, when you close a prospect, you must replace the inventory in your pipeline. You can do that by cold calling, cold emailing, and knocking on doors, but eventually you'll get burned out of that. That is hard work. Referrals and word of mouth marketing can be predictable and are much easier and more likely to close. Lie number 12, people always want the lowest price. Often salespeople make the excuse that they'd be better off selling their product if it was a lower priced option available, or they discount the price every single time. But we all know from our own experience that we don't always buy the lowest priced version of our favorite products. In fact, we often don't buy the lowest priced version. For instance, I love peanut butter, but I don't buy it at the dollar store. I learned that one the hard way, and we've all had that bad experience. So if you're really the lowest priced product, it can pose a problem because you'll have to prove your value. You have to explain how you're able to make your product the lowest cost without sacrificing quality, or your customers will be suspicious, or they might doubt your credentials. Can you see how emotions are playing a role here again? That being said, there will always be price chasers seeking the lowest price. You do not want price chasers. Why? Because being the lowest price competitor is a very competitive, never-ending game that you will eventually lose. And then where do you think those price chasers will go? To the new lowest price product. As a salesperson, you probably don't have much control over the price, but as a business owner, of course, this takes into account your market research and what the budgets of your ideal customers are. Lie number 13, sales is hard. Here is why sales is hard. Sales is hard because of those voices in your head that are saying, shut up, you're an idiot, when you find yourself in a selling situation. Sales is hard because people say no to you, or rather, it's your interpretation of the word no that makes it so difficult. No means you suck, you're annoying, you're fat, you're ugly, stupid, etc. To all of us, no means so much more than no thanks. Sales is hard because manipulating people goes against your core values, and in order to really do it well, you have to master 50 or more techniques to get through every situation or objection. So yes, sales can be hard if you're trying to technique your way through it. Not honoring your core values or getting tripped up by the tapes in your head that you don't yet know how to control. However, sales is easy when you believe fully in the value that your product or service brings, even with its flaws. Sales is easy when you truly understand your customer and are there to help the customer and not yourself. Sales is easy when you don't have to worry about making quota or when the next sale is coming in. Sales is easy when you have so many people asking you to help them that you never have to cold call again. Sales is easy when you never take the word no personally. Sales is easy when you don't believe the lies you've been told. So you might ask, Jessica, if sales is so easy, then why must it be learned? Yeah, I hear you. It's because the stuff that's tripping us up, the voices in our heads, have been there for 20, 30, 40, how old are you, or more years, and challenging them is just the start of a long process ahead. The good news is that we can break any negative tape in our head in 40 days. Watching a video or reading a book once is not going to change anything unless you apply it on a consistent basis and it becomes a new habit. That's when real change happens. Do you have that kind of commitment? How badly do you want to achieve your personal and professional goals? A great trainer or coach is there not just to teach you the techniques, but to remind you to keep going when it gets difficult. And when those demons come up telling you you're not good enough and you don't deserve success, to keep going and work through it. Because with some hard work, creating new sales habits and new mental habits, sales can be easy. So I'm here to show you how sales can be easy with a step-by-step system to totally transform your sales. Whether you're starting from scratch, or you've been selling for a while and you're stuck, or you're a sales manager who just can't quite communicate why you've been successful in a way that is replicable, this can happen sooner than you think.